I want to welcome two distinguished guests to Crossover today, Misha and Sipa Dichter, pianists who have, in their own right, separate careers and have joined together in many ways. Welcome to Crossover.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you're married to each other, so that's one joining. Is that right?
And I would say.
And you work together, which is an incredible thing to be married, to work together, and to be happy doing everything. It's a joy to have you today here on Crossover. You have just come out with a marvelous new disc. I must say it's really fabulous, and it should be in everyone's library. I think it is really a collector's piece. It's the complete piano works for four hands, with some very interesting added attractions. How did you decide to do this? Was this your idea, or did somebody say, well, the big year is coming up, how about doing this?
It was probably a confluence of ideas, but certainly the big Mozart 250 was looming, and it seemed to make sense that really one of the missing portions of the great output of Mozart is this repertoire. And it really astounds us how many people who really think they know their music have listened to these three CDs and come back to us saying, we didn't know. We really didn't know how wonderful some of these sonatas were. And I'm just delighted with bringing a part of the repertoire that is so fantastic to people for the first time.
Well, again, was this something that you researched? Obviously, you did research it because you found some of the some arrangements there that were really quite interesting as well, one by Busoni and the other, that wonderful sonata in C major. Oh, my goodness, when I heard that, that is so delightful.
Sorry for those out there listening who don't know what the reference is. Anybody who ever studied piano has played the ba-da-dum-ba-da-dum sonata. And what Grieg did, I think with all good intentions, was to update harmonically this piece so that in this recording, Sipa plays the straight person. Playing the sonata as Mozart wrote it, and Grieg pretty much puts a fur coat around it. It's the only way I can describe it, with his own harmonies.
Well, it's delightful.
It's almost a challenge to play it straight because of everything that's going on on the second piano part. It took me a while not to laugh out loud while I was playing.
We're aware of people in the audience when we play it really tittering.
Well, at first, but then you stop and you really listen, and it's just a delight. Now, let's backtrack a little bit. You each have had amazing careers. Misha Dichter, of course, you won the Tchaikovsky in 1966, quite a while ago. And I know you, of course, as a soloist for many, many years. When did you actually start doing the four-hand thing?
Before then.
Yes, we actually started to play together. I know exactly because our older son is 34 and he was one. So that's how long ago we started
to play. Well, that's professionally.
Professionally, yeah. I mean,
as Juilliard students.
Yes, you met
65.
There, didn't you?
Yeah. And we used to side read, do a lot of very unusual repertoire that we would find reductions of for four hands of Ravel unknown pieces, and we would side read them and Bruckner symphonies. I mean, you wouldn't believe what's out there for four hands.
I think you've just said something. First of all, I am amazed that you both play on the same keyboard. That is an amazing thing.
Yes, and that adds amazing complications to a relationship, as you might imagine.
I mean, it's fun when you're having fun, but when you have to perform, it's very acrobatic, isn't it?
It's really playing a string quartet, because that's what the writing is, except that you're bumping elbows with somebody and getting out of the way of the middle notes right away, the "and" of Steinway and Sons sits.
Oh, it's amazing. I bet that, Sipa, that has something... must have an impact on your marital relationship.
Well, let's not go there, please.
Now, Mozart wrote these things for him when he, of course, was young, and for his sister, Nannerl, who was really an amazing pianist, wasn't she?
Yes, by all reports, without his having eclipsed her, she could have been, you know, as the Clara Schumann of her time.
He also, I think, wrote some of it for students. I think that one of the ways he made the living was teaching a countess's daughters how to play the piano. So once in a while, I think he had to throw something together for a lesson.
Well, I know
up.
That he, I know he wrote the Mozart flute, the flute and harp concerto for a student of a mm-hmm. count. I mean, she was an outstanding harpist, and he wrote this. So I guess he, of course, he needed a patron always for his music.
Always. Mm-hmm. As and interesting about this repertoire is that it spans from Kerschel 19, if you can believe it.
Oh,
I think
my.
He was probably 5 or 6 years old, to 600. It's his whole life.
Speaking of that, do you find in playing his music, as of course he matured and so on, the piano repertoire anyway, is it repetitious? I mean, did he use kind of, I don't want to use the word gimmicks, but I guess that's what I'm going to say. I mean, there's a pattern, isn't it, that develops musically? Don't you feel that when you play a particular composer's works?
Not in his case. I think he astounds. He surprises with every turn of every piece. You never feel, oh, we heard this in the other sonata. And if there's a moment of you know, a piece of his that reminds you of another piece, it's really for that moment, because then it's off in a new direction. Sipa, you know, sometimes when I point out to her in other composers' works, did you notice this is similar to that other piece of this person? Her remark always says, well, you know, they all basically wrote one piece with variations, except you certainly can't say that about Mozart.
Yeah, I was going to add that you can imagine what intense practicing went into preparing for this recording. And it was never, ever, not for a second, there was never the feeling of, oh, this is a little boring. You know, do I have to go through all the pieces today again? Because it just, as Misha said, it's
never cliché.
Yeah, it's never cliché. It's always, there's a turn, there's a harmony, there's a figure. And although, as we were saying, he wrote it for, quote, students, when he did that, the level is always equal between the two parts, and except for the very first one that, as Misha said, he must have been, I don't know, 4 or 5.
Unbelievable.
Even that one is charming. They are all on a very, very high level.
Now, both of you studied at the Juilliard with Madame Rosina Levine,
which
in itself was an accomplishment because she was very picky about her students. So that says a great deal for what she thought about you.
I was going to say that our story is that she, let's not say she asked me to come to her class, but she said, you know, marriages outside the class never work, because I was studying with somebody else at that point.
I see. Well, now you are from Brazil, is that right, originally?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, your background is Polish, Russian.
Yes,
and, and when did you come to this country?
I came in 63. And I studied at Eastman for a couple of years and disliked it intensely. So as soon as I could get out of there and come to New York, that's what I did.
And Misha, you have a rather interesting background, but I've met quite a few people in the last few years who had gone to Shanghai to escape from Europe. And so you were born actually in Shanghai, weren't you?
Yes, that's right.
Your parents
right
were
at
Polish.
The end of the war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. September 45, and they lived there for 2 more years, actually.
What's interesting is I think there is a history of great pianists, or certainly talented pianists, who play in the Russian tradition from Shanghai, or people that have come from that area. And one wonders about that until one knows what the process was. I think a lot of people did flee there, you know, to mm-hmm. escape from Europe. And
yes.
Now, you also, of course, have had separate careers as soloists. And
well, I have to correct you. I really have not played that much by myself. I played a little bit when, in Brazil, I played a little bit before I came. And then I'm mostly have been playing with Misha for the past however many years.
That's terrific. So, but Misha, you have had, of course, a solo career for years. Right.
This is true.
Do you do any of that anymore, or is it now just the two of you?
No, we like to divide our time equally, and I look forward to my solo recitals and concerti, and then I look just as much forward to duo work with Sipa, and then chamber music when there's a chance. It's a nice big world out there.
But what you've done here is really rather special. I want to go to that sonata in D major, the K448, that you open the disc with.
We've played that, I think, maybe it was almost the first piece that we played in recital together.
It's still not easy.
Yeah, it's still not easy.
You never stop. I mean, you just keep going.
Mozart keeps going. We try and catch up.
But you are, I just, when I first heard it, and I just kind of, you know, I was a little bit lackadaisical when I saw the album. I thought, well, yes, this is lovely. It's for the Mozart, you know, the celebration. And then when I began to listen, of course, to listen to this first is really astounding. I mean, I just kind of said, when are they going to stop and catch their breath? It's very virtuosic, isn't it?
It's like a symphony. Yeah. It's amazing.
And I also think that the sound of the CD is very good. You know, the engineer really did it in such a way that you don't know which piano is doing what, where, who is coming and who is going. I think that's very successful.
But the stamina that you need for that is absolutely amazing, certainly.
That's why we jog every day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And you keep your figure, right? So you look good at the piano.
We try. And that's definitely necessary if you're going to sit next to somebody playing four hands. You have to keep your waistline down.
Yes. Now, so you said that was on a two piano performance.
Yes.
So if it's the complete piano works for four hands, then do you distinguish between the separate keyboards and the single keyboard?
Well, that's distinguished by the composer himself. So on this disc, specifically for two pianos, is that sonata and the fugue in C minor. And a transcription of a fantasy that Busoni set for two pianos.
Busoni,
otherwise,
yes. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they are really written for one piano, four hands, as if one in the 18th century simply adjourned from dinner, went into the parlor, and two pianos sat next to each other and played a sonata.
Now, is there a difference when you think of the piano that Mozart composed for, just as with the Beethoven piano? Do you find, was this written for piano? Was it written for harpsichord?
Very good question. Very different sounding instrument. And, you know, I have to go back 40 years to studying with Mrs. Levine at Juilliard, because whenever I would play works of Bach or Mozart, and I would think, you know, what right do we have to play these pieces on our modern pianos? She, without hesitation, would say, you know, if those composers had our instruments at their disposal, they would have been thrilled. And so, obviously, one has to modify the sound a bit, mm-hmm, to suit, a 10-foot Steinway concert grand. Basses tend to be muddier in the modern instruments. You know, the harpsichord has a purer, obviously, plucked sound, and is more linear in sound. So I think that affects one's approach to our modern piano in playing this repertoire. I certainly have a different sound playing this than I muster up for Brahms or Rachmaninoff.
Well, I would think so. But again, the writing, I guess, was limited for Mozart because of the instruments, right?
Perhaps, yes.
Mm-hmm. So once again, then, you have really collected the complete works that he wrote for four hands. Is that right? Everything that he's ever written is on this?
Everything is on this. We had a funny occurrence the month before we did the recording. I was playing Brahms upstate, Brahms Piano Concerto, and a dear Juilliard friend of ours came to rehearsal, and we told her about this Mozart project, and she said, oh, I especially love the two fantasies.
Yes.
And we both said, two fantasies? She said, oh, don't you know the other one? And we had no idea that it existed, because we thought we had all the music for everything he wrote for this medium. And we called the various music shops that we knew, and they said, out of print, unavailable. And it turned out that somebody in our apartment building in New York, who's an amateur pianist, just had a dusty old copy from her Schirmer
school days. Oh, my goodness.
Days.
Isn't that amazing?
There was this piece, fortunately, 4 weeks before the recording, so we could say the complete work.
Well, again, now one of the fantasies, the one that was arranged by Busoni, was for musical clockwork. What is that? Those are the musical clocks that we, and I know that Mozart wrote works for the musical clocks, but how did you you know, decide to put that in?
We actually had been playing that before. It was part of our repertoire. And once we start, we thought about adding the Greek. We just thought it would be fun or interesting to add, you know, a little more unusual repertoire. And that's, you know, I don't think there's a big musicological reason for it being there.
Do you plan to concertize perhaps on tour or something with excerpts from the albums?
We're doing a lot of that this year, yes, including Kennedy's had a recital that first half of which is all Mozart.
When is that going to take place?
It's the 26th, Thursday the 26th of January.
Well, I believe, isn't Mozart's birthday the 27th, I think?
Yes.
So,
yes, so
well, we've got
keep
you.
Keep playing encores.
Yeah, we've got it. That's right. And, of course, you do perform quite regularly, both of you, together.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, again, it's a pleasure speaking with you. And
Thank you.
I must say it's thrilling to see the Hirschfeld caricature of you. I interviewed Al Hirschfeld. Well, he was 97 at the time, and of an incredible man. So for him to have even done this of you is a testament to what he felt your talent was. So
again, we had nice times with him.
Yeah,
charming man. And once again, thank you so much for finding the time. I hope that you will keep us informed of whatever new recordings that you plan on doing. Do you have anything on the horizon?
Everything is always talked about. We cannot go to details now.
Okay. Well, and that means there's something brewing. Is that right?
Who knows?
Okay. On that note, thank you once again. A marvelous
thank
compilation,
you.
A brilliant performance, and thank you for coming on our show.
Our
thank
pleasure.
You.
Thanks.
Thanks.